Will you please remain standing as we read the scripture together this morning? This is Psalm 32, and we make a quick, maybe it's not a disclaimer, but just an explanation. We're going to read this morning from a different translation than we usually do. This is from the New Living Translation, which is a little freer than most of the translations we use in this church. It's sort of a thought-by-thought as opposed to a word-by-word translation. It was actually the Psalms in that particular translation were translated by, among a couple of other scholars, Richard Pratt, who was one of my and Joe's favorite professors of all time from RTS. And I assure you, it's although it wasn't penned by Moses like the NASB was, it is a faithful translation. I just like the way it reads this morning as we look at this Psalm. So it's also printed on the back of the sermon notes and. Maybe not behind me, but it is on the sermon notes. So please give attention as we read God's Word. Oh, what joy for those whose rebellion is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly confess their rebellion to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey Him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning that we can gather together on a beautiful New Year's Day, that we can worship you, that we can come into your presence. Father, you have made this possible for us to stand before you because of your love for us. So, Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds this morning, that we would take something from here, from your word, that would change us this morning, that we would not be hearers only of the word, but that you would imprint on our hearts your truth this morning, that we might be different people. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. It's always fun to have the opportunity to preach at Covenant Press, and I get the opportunity to do that this week and next. And I was really pleased that I drew the coveted New Year's Day slot at 8:30. Most preachers, you know, sign up for that. They're really excited about it. I'm pleased to see so many people here. This is exciting. I was you had as dull an evening as I did, apparently. So I was kidding with Burris before the worship service, and I said, yeah, I went to bed at about 2 minutes after 12. You know, at my age, the ball drops, and you go, that's great, another year, and go to bed, and I got to preach tomorrow. It'll be great. But I confess, I am a child of my generation. You know, being born in the mid-50s, I see life a certain way. My children would say, you know, I'm old and don't relate well with them or this particular age, as evidenced by going to bed at 12:02 last night. But those of us who are older probably see things different than people who are younger. That's absolutely true, that there is a difference in generations and the way that we apprehend reality. It's the same reality, we just happen to see it a little bit differently. You've probably heard of postmodernism, kind of this new way of seeing things, seeing reality or comprehending truth. I had my first real experience with that in a big way a number of years ago when I lived in New Jersey. I was working with high school kids in a particular high school where my oldest daughter was attending at the time. One of her friends, we were trying to start a Young Life ministry at this school, and one of her friends was a